Hey everybody, what's going on? It's Sunday, it's the end of the weekend, it's winding down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
you know Tom's about to lay down some shit.
Yeah, I'm going to tell a story.
He's going to tell a story.
Yesterday I was over at the damn biker bar. Had his big ass fucking biker come in, his name's John. All right. He's about 6'5", 6'4". He's got this fucking long fucking beard like that. He's up there at the bar with his wife. And I'm fucking running around behind him and shit. And he goes, "Hey, hey, what's all this? What's all this?" Like, he's going to me, and that's my beard. He goes, "Ain't no beard, that's old kitty milk." And I was like, "What? Yeah, I'm gonna get you a little saucer, put milk in, a little drink out of saucer like a little kitty. That's kitty milk. That's a kitty milk beard. Kitty milk." And I started fucking laughing. Kitty milk.
Yeah.
Kitty milk.
Well, nothing wrong with
so
kitty.
That's my name now, Kitty Milk.
Okay, I'm gonna.
No, that's not my name. Fucking Kitty Milk.
Well, now that you said it, I'm gonna call you Kitty Milk. Anyway. Sorry, yeah. Sorry to tell you.
Yeah, that little Kitty Milk. Man, what do you call it?
That's really funny. What?
So, yeah, Sam saying my beard was not masculine enough,
not manly enough.
Yeah, he's saying that shit was effeminate. It was like something for little kitties. To drink out of milk out of the saucer.
Yeah, but he has like a big long beard, so why does he feel the need to like shit on other people? Because to me, that speaks of insecurity.
He's just fucking with me. He started laughing.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So that's my story.
Tom Kitty Milk Ross. That's where we're gonna go. I kind of like that name.
Kitty Milk. Yeah.
Danny Rowling said milk mustache or chocolate milk mustache. Yeah, so young Sherlock Holmes, you guys. Now, had you ever seen this movie? You had never seen this
movie.
Yeah,
I saw it.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
I saw it a long time ago, but I didn't remember anything about it.
But you didn't remember? The weird thing about this is that I feel like, despite all of the talent behind this, and despite the fact that I saw this a million times when I was growing up, because it seemed like it was on cable all the time, it didn't really do all that well, like, in the United States. And, I mean, it made its money back overseas, but I don't know. I feel like a lot of people don't really remember it, which is really weird because it's, like, a really good movie, I always thought.
I remembered it when I saw it. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this one. And I remember not really liking it that much when it came out. Seeing it now, I was like, man, this is kind of like Indiana Jones. And she says, well, yeah, it's Steven Spielberg. And I was like, oh, okay.
Well, he produced it.
Yeah. And then I was like, it feels kind of like Indiana Jones a little bit. And then I said, and it's also kind of like, it's almost kind of like a prototype Harry Potter kind of a feeling to it. It's a high quality movie. You know, it's real well made. I don't know who did the score, had a really good score.
It wasn't John Williams, but okay. It was John Williams-esque.
Yeah.
I can't remember
I
who
thought
did
it was,
the score,
yeah.
But yeah. Well, I kind of feel, well, it was Amblin Entertainment. Like I said, that was Steven Spielberg's production company. Yeah. And they usually used John Williams, but I don't think they used him in this particular one. But they wanted something like John Williams-y.
Yeah.
To get that same feel to it.
A lot of it was like striking me to be kind of like, Temple of Doom.
Yeah, it's almost like a Temple of Doom, like, yeah. But for a slightly younger audience. Yeah. But I will say that, I don't know, not that much of a younger audience, because I had actually forgotten. I thought it's kind of like a kid's, more like YA. I don't want to say it's like a kid's movie. But watching it, I had forgotten like there's some pretty like fucked up and like nightmarish imagery in this, and people do get like killed and shit like that too, which
they took that pretty chick, wrapped her up like a mummy and poured hot wax on her and killed her, I guess. You never found
out what happened to her. And spoiler alert too, like the main female character in this, Elizabeth, she dies also. She dies at the end. She gets shot.
Yeah.
Like you know, sacrifices herself for Holmes or whatever. So I don't know, and I feel like, and it was a time period too where, I mean, at least in the UK, like there was a really successful Sherlock Holmes show on, I believe, like in this, because this came out in 1985. Mm-hmm. So I don't really see why, I don't know. I think this maybe would have flown more nowadays. The weird thing about it is, like, back in the 80s, when they were thinking about doing this movie, it was very important to Steven Spielberg, who was producing, Chris Columbus, who wrote the screenplay, and also Barry Levinson, who directed it. They were, like, really, really worried that Sherlock Holmes purists were going to get all over their shit for... Because this is not a canonical... Holmes story, obviously. Like, Holmes and Watson didn't meet each other until they were adults, so this is kind of like going, you know, it's not canon. So they were, like, afraid that, you know, people were going to get mad at them, so they went really out of their way to, you know, consult different, like, Holmes experts and, like, have the script go through, like, all this kind of stuff. And I think they even went through, like, some of Arthur Conan Doyle's, like, family, like, living family members, like, to make sure it was okay with them and shit like that. So they really did try to be respectful of the character, which I thought was, like, actually pretty, you know, that was pretty admirable. But the weird thing about it is I feel like something like this, like a concept like this, would probably fly a lot better nowadays. You know what I'm saying? Where people are used to seeing fictional characters, like, put into different situations that aren't exactly, like, from the source material. So... You know, I think you could probably do this now and not... Because I think it has been done now. Like, Sherlock Holmes, like, in weird other, you know, fucking dimensions and shit like that. But back in the 80s, I guess that wasn't really a thing that you did. So I don't know if that was necessarily why people didn't respond to it the same way that they responded to other films of this ilk. But I don't know. Like I said, it's very much like... Temple of Doom. It has, like, a very Temple of Doomy kind of storyline to it. And, like you said, it is, like, a proto-Harry Potter. I feel like, well, Chris Columbus, obviously, he wrote, did he direct the first two Harry Potter movies, I feel like? So maybe it could be that J.K. Rowling, like, saw this movie, I would imagine. A lot of people did. And maybe it gave her an idea, because this is a very, very Harry Potter vibe to it. Like, yeah. Boy school, the whole kind of... You know, and the fact that it has, it's not supernatural, but because an aspect of the plot has to do with, like, a hallucinogenic drug that, like, this cult is using, so they have an excuse to show these kind of, like, fucked up, like, nightmarish images in it.
It's funny, I've only seen the first Harry Potter movie.
The first one is actually, the books are good. I actually quite liked the books. I thought they were entertaining. The first movie is a little too kid-focused. The movie's got a lot better once they got, once the kids got older, because, and the books got better, like, later on, too, because they got darker as the kids grew up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I saw, and I wasn't impressed when I saw the first movie. But what I liked more about the first movie is, later on, they did a skit on Saturday Night Live where they had the damn girl from Harry Potter, and they're redoing Harry Potter, and she'd gotten implants. Remember that? And they had her in that real low-cut thing. They're trying to do a Harry Potter ripoff, and... all the characters are staring at her boobs while she's talking. Remember,
I didn't see it.
This fucking hilarious, man. It was on Saturday Night Live. They were just kind of poking fun on the fact that that girl from Harry Potter had a fucking big rat.
Well, it's like she really did. Actually, most of the actors, pretty well all of the actors from Harry Potter that were, like, really, really young when they first started out, you know, they were very young, like, awkward little kids. And all of them, like, filled out nice. They they looked really good when they got older, so...
They were just kind of fucking with that. I thought it was pretty good. You know, I remembered this. I remember seeing this and thinking it was okay, but it didn't stick with me. You know, it didn't stick with me the way, like, what year did this come out at?
85.
Yeah. See, it didn't stick with me the way Indiana Jones did or something. It's just something about it. I guess the cast was too young. For me.
Maybe,
I didn't quite
although
think it was cool.
I guess, like I said, it was almost like a slightly YA version because I guess the characters were supposed to be like 16, 17 years old. So they weren't kids.
Right.
They were like teenagers. So, and like I said, I was actually kind of surprised because I had remembered that I saw this movie a lot, like in the 80s, but I had forgotten and I kind of had a concept of it as more kids focused, but seeing it again last night, I was like, oh, this is actually really. Like a lot more horror based than I remembered it being.
It's hard to believe this is 85. It seems a lot later, doesn't it?
It does. It
seems like it's a lot later. It seems like late 80s or early 90s.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah, it looks real good.
And fun fact, this was actually the first movie, this one right here, that had an entire CGI character. that stained glass knight that jumped out the stained glass window and like fought. That's the first time that ever happened. That was Industrial Light and Magic. Like the guy that later did Pixar, like formed Pixar, was the guy that did the animation on that. And it still looks good, I think, because it wasn't supposed to look natural. It was supposed to look like a knight that had jumped out was made of stained glass and was like moving around. So it still looks really good. And Murder Hornet pointed out, he said the pastry scene is the best. That is also my favorite scene where they, you know, the three main characters, Holmes and Watson and Elizabeth, they get shot with the hallucinogen, and then they go in this cemetery and start having visions. And Elizabeth is actually really terrifying. She, like, she gets buried alive and all of a sudden it's, like, fucked up and everything. But Watson, because the big joke is that he's not fat, but he's just, like, a little bit dumpy. So the funny thing is he's always, like, stuffing his face with, like, pastries and whatnot. So he has a hallucination that there's, like, a little bakery window and then, like, all the little pastries, like, come to life. Like, their little Muppet eyes, like, pop up and, like, they start jumping on him and cramming the cells in his mouth and stuff. And it was just, and then later on, like when he's actually eating like a cream horn or something, he's like talking to it. It's like super funny, but it's like, I don't know why I always thought that was really funny, but it's also like kind of creepy and disturbing. Because seriously, what if you were tripping on LSD or something and you went like past a bakery shop and like all the fucking pastries came to life? That would, you would fucking freak out. So it kind of reminded me of that. But yeah, so the story behind this, like I said, is that you know, this was actually directed by Barry Levinson, who I don't think had done anything like this prior. I mean, he did Diner, he did The Natural, he did Good Morning Vietnam, which I love that movie, Bugsy, Wag the Dog, Rain Man. So it doesn't really seem like he would normally do this kind of movie, but I think he did a good job on it. And like I said, Chris Columbus wrote it. Obviously, he wrote The Goonies and Gremlins and directed Home Alone and Mrs. Doubtfire and all that kind of stuff. And so I kind of like, you were asking the guy that plays, the kid that plays Sherlock Holmes in this.
Yeah.
Nicholas Rowe. And he's actually been in a fuck ton of stuff since then. He's been on a ton of British TV. He was in a ton of movies. He was actually in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, which I had totally forgotten about. That's a great movie, by the way. And he was also in Seed of Chucky, like one of the Child's Play movies. He's been in other movies, too. The funny thing, though, is that he actually played a version of Sherlock Holmes, but older, obviously, in 2015. There was a movie with Sir Ian McKellen that was called Mr. Holmes, and he played, like, a version of Sherlock Holmes in that. So I thought that was kind of funny that they, like, made a nod to that. But, yeah, this has, like, a ton of really famous British actors in it. There's a great video on YouTube that I was watching earlier today where the girl was talking about all of the, she called it 6 degrees of Sherlock Holmes, like all the British actors that were in this movie that had been in other Sherlock Holmes adaptations or like had something to do with other Sherlock Holmes adaptations. So that's like a really interesting thing to watch if you're like interested in that kind of stuff. But I just kind of liked the whole, you know, Holmes being at boarding school and then Watson comes there and then they befriend one another. And then basically they uncover this plot that has to do with, well, first, it just seems like a bunch of weird suicides, but Holmes thinks that they were probably murdered, but the cops don't want to know. But so he starts, like, investigating, and it turns out that there's this, like, weird Osiris-worshipping cult that they go around and, like, the person that's, like, their assassin, essentially, they have, like, this blowpipe, and they go around, like, hitting their targets, like, with this hallucinogen, and then the hallucinogen usually causes them to, like, commit suicide or die in an accident, you know what I mean? Like, they'll jump out a window or, you know, throw themselves in front of a carriage because they can't see what they're doing, you know? So, so they do that kind of stuff, and like I said, their whole thing is they've been kidnapping girls and wrapping them in mummy wrapping and taking them down in this big fucking temple that they have, which that temple set's amazing, by the way. It still looks fantastic. All the costumes look great,
too. Kind of like an Egyptian version of Temple of Doom, kind of.
Yeah, it's very, very similar. It's like, it doesn't have the whole, like, ripping hearts out and stuff, but it definitely has, hey, we're making living girls into mummies. Like I said, they wrap them all up, and they drug them, and then they wrap them all up and lay them, and then they pour, like, hot wax, like, hot paraffin, like, on top of them and kill them like that. So it's pretty fucked up.
Yep.
It's pretty fucked up. And like I said, because it has that whole plot thread of the hallucinogen then it has an excuse to, like, show these kind of, like, crazy hallucinations. There's actually, like, one sequence in there, too, that was a little bit, like, kind of reminded me of, like, Ray Harryhausen. You know what I mean? Like, where the one guy was in the antique shop and he saw, like, these little gargoyle things that started, like, flying around, like, all over him and stuff. So, I don't know. I just really like that. I think at the time, this didn't really get very good reviews, and I think it was because, I mean, Ebert liked it, but he was like, he's like, it's a little weird seeing, like, a Sherlock. I don't think people were used to seeing a Sherlock Holmes story, which is supposed to be, like, very grounded and logical, that had these, like, weird, like, fantastical elements in it. And I think people were weirded out by that. Like I said, it's not weird nowadays because now they do all kind of crazy shit, like in crossovers and everything. But I think, like, back in the 80s, people weren't really used to seeing that. And maybe also, that's what it was.
I also remember back in the 80s, there was a lot of Sherlock Holmes stuff out on television and on cable that was playing.
Yeah.
And it tended to be dry and boring. So I think trying to bring Sherlock Holmes to the big screen in something kind of like a young Indiana Jones type setting, I think it was kind of hard to make Sherlock Holmes cool, I think, in the 80s. It just
maybe that's what it was.
It was kind of I remember thinking that was kind of some nerdy shit.
That's some nerdy shit right there, said young Tom.
Yeah. Yeah. See, oh, that dude, yeah, he reads books and shit. Yeah.
See, I wasn't bothered by that kind of thing because I was kind of nerdy.
Yeah, nerdy shit. Yeah, I think that's what it was. Is it?
So that didn't bother me.
No, it would have been better if they had made this an Indiana Jones movie, and well, put Indy in it and everything.
They did. Well, didn't they do Young Indiana Jones Chronicles? That was a show that wasn't.
I'd have put Harrison Ford in that motherfucker and made it an Indiana Jones movie. Yep. And you could have kept a lot of the story the same. With the poison.
I mean, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, this is essentially like a similar like adventure type story. Yeah.
And you'd have had an adult in there with a gun and a whip and a hat, and you could have so you now have plausibility for bigger action scenes. And it's not in the Victorian era. It's like in the 40s, late 40s or the 50s, something like that. And it would have worked, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, they already had Indiana Jones, though. I can see how they were trying to go a different way with it and maybe skew slightly younger.
It would have made money, though.
Yeah, I mean, this did make money, but not in the U.S. Like, in the U.S., I think it just made its money back, but then, like, overseas, like, it made more money. Jeffy Art said, I watched this movie in school before Christmas break in the fifth grade. It was my gateway into the mythology of Sherlock Holmes. That and the episode of Star Trek, The Next Generation, Elementary, Dear Data. Oh, I remember that one. I like your little monocle guy there, too. Yeah. I've never seen that emoji before. Then Jeffy Art said, I wonder if a factor could have been that the Victorian setting didn't make the mainstream appeal in the 1980s. It could have been that. It could have been that. Because I do kind of feel like the 80s, all of the movies that were iconic from the 80s, I feel like, very few of them were period pieces. Unless I'm thinking, well, I guess Indiana Jones was, but... Sort of.
I don't think the Victorian era was the problem. Because then you just look at Harry Potter. It has that feel to it. It looks like this movie.
Even though Harry Potter is the modern day.
But it's still, you know what I mean, when they're in these weird fucking schools and shit, it looks kind of Victorian. And their little outfits kind of look a little bit Victorian. But they've added magic to it.
Yeah.
Fucking flying brooms and shit. And that sold like hotcakes.
It did.
Yeah. It could, more action and stuff. Matter of fact, I didn't just see the first one. I saw the other one. It was like a spinoff. Remember, we saw it in the theater. We reviewed it.
Some bad guys. I think that was Fantastic Beasts. That's like Crimes of Grindelwald or whatever. Yeah, that's like an offshoot.
It was like that.
I didn't read those. I read the Harry Potter books, but I haven't read any of the extra canonical.
And I'm in a theater full of these damn fucking nerds and shit. They're all dressed up. I have no idea about any of this.
I didn't read any of those. I didn't read any of the Fantastic Beasts books.
Yeah, but it was an enjoyable movie.
It was all right, but I didn't really know.
I had no idea what was going on. Really.
I knew who some of the characters were, but that's about it.
Just watching it.
I was like, whatever.
Yeah, I was the same.
It's like, oh yeah, I think isn't that the guy that's like the dad of that other guy or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
they're all oohing and on, like they know these characters. And
they do.
Saying, you know, they're all oohing and on, and I'm like, going, yeah.
Like I said, I'm a lot more familiar with the Harry Potter universe because I've actually read all of those. But you know, and it's just interesting to me, and I had forgotten too because. It was interesting to me how Harry Pottery this movie was.
It is very Harry Potter-y.
Like, because, and even shit, the kid that plays Watson even kind of looks like Harry Potter. Yeah. Like, he's got the glasses and the hair, and it's just like, and it's a very Harry Potter-y kind of story. And there's, like, even three of them. It's two boys and a girl, you know, and they're kind of like personalities aren't exactly the same. It's not the same, quite the same dynamic.
Yeah. See, it wasn't the Victorian look that held this back, I don't think. Harry Potter has that same look. It did well.
Yeah.
And Harry Potter would have done well in 85, I think.
Yeah.
It would have done real well.
Just it didn't get written until much later.
Yeah, but I think
so I'm
kind of
feeling that maybe J.K. Rowling was used. Well, I don't know if it's so much that, because I think, I don't even know if it's so much like a ripoff, like Harry Potter universe being a ripoff of this. I think it's just so much that the whole boarding school culture in the UK, like the whole school culture, it kind of lends itself to that sort of entertainment. So I don't even know if stuff, I mean, I'm not from, I've lived in the UK for a little while, but, you know, I'm not from there originally. So I don't know if maybe it's just, that's just part of the British school culture. And so that's why stuff like that keeps coming out in movies. And it's not necessarily that one thing is ripping off the other thing. But I mean, there are some shots in this, like particularly the one shot, where all the boys are like at dinner, and obviously like this is, you know, it's by candlelight because it's Victorian era. It's not magic like in the Harry Potter one. It's like all these like floating candles and it's all like magic-y and shit, but it's very similar like the way it's shot, you know what I'm saying? Like you can tell that, I know that Chris Columbus didn't direct this, but he did write it and he did direct the first two Harry Potter movies, so you can definitely see the connection there, you know what I mean? It is very much like that. And even though this doesn't have quote-unquote magic in it, it does have hallucinations in it. And it does have, like, a lot of horror imagery, like I said, because especially when... I think the scariest one is, like, Elizabeth's... her hallucination. Because, like I said, it happens... It's almost like a fucking... Ebenezer Scrooge, you know, Ghost of Christmas Future kind of shit going on. And it's like pretty, like with a fucking dead zombie, like skeleton thing, like, you know, carving her name into a headstone and shit like that, which I thought was like so fucking cool, like back in the 80s, because I love that kind of shit.
Danny's requesting haunting episode Echoes from the Grave.
Now, did we do that one already?
I thought we did it.
I thought we did that one. I'll check, and if we didn't, then we'll do that one.
Yeah.
But.
If not, maybe we can do the fucking crazy one about the fucking mummy.
The one about the mummy?
Yeah.
We need to save one for Halloween.
Oh, okay, yeah, we'll save that for Halloween.
But, I mean...
The mummy.
Like I said, we can do... Because, like I said, next Monday is Halloween. So, we can do, like, an episode of a haunting, but we can also just kind of do, like, a regular Sidetracks Halloween special type thing. You know, just all together. So,
yeah.
I'm not too worried about it, I guess. It'll be sort of freewheeling. But I thought we had done Echoes from the Grave, though.
We can check.
I'm gonna have to go back and check. I mean, I'm pretty sure that we did that, but maybe not.
I know that title. I just can't remember which episode.
We've made that joke like a million times. It's like their titles are
the titles are all about the same.
I picture,
like, which one is that?
You know those, like, they used to, I don't know if they still sell these or not, but they used to have those little box sets you could buy them at bookstores and stuff, and it was kind of like called the magnetic poem set or whatever, and it would just have like all these different words like on little magnets, and you put them on your fridge and you could rearrange them like to make poems with. I kind of feel like there's a haunting specific box of that, and then they just have a fridge in the break room at the haunting production company, and they just keep moving it around. It's just like, this one says grave and death and demon and blah blah blah, and they just like move the fucking words around, you know what I mean? Yeah, Robbie Coltrane died. That sucks. Yeah, he's awesome. I loved him.
I don't remember who that was.
You'd know him if you saw him. He's been in a million things. Danny Rowling says, Gary Oldman and David Thewlis cast as werewolves in the third Harry Potter Prisoner of Azkaban was a great idea. Yeah, I think after the third one, like, they got much better. Because, I mean, the books, too. Because, you know, once it got into, like, the fucking Dementors and all that kind of stuff, like, that was, like, super scary. And that was, like, way better than... Because the first couple movies, like I said, they were still kids, so they couldn't do anything, like, too fucking crazy. But once they got older and they were getting to, like, 17, 18 years old, then, like, people were, like, getting fucking killed left and right. And they, I mean, the Harry Potter books, say what you will about them, but they did have a pretty high body count. Like, a bunch of people got fucking killed in that shit. And some of this stuff was, like, super, super scary. Danny Rowling said, you did Echoes from the Past recently. But I don't know that you did Echoes from the Grave. Okay, so maybe that's what it is. I'm thinking of Echoes from the Past, and then there's a different one called Echoes from the Grave. Right? So, okay, so...
I don't remember which one Echoes from the Grave.
Well, I don't either, but that's what, like I said, that's what we were saying. We don't, like, know. Mm-hmm. We don't know. But...
You got Echoes from the Ground. Echoes from Hell.
Echoes from your ass.
Echoes from you. Starring Belladonna.
No, that's My Ass is Haunted.
Yeah, well, it's the sequel.
It's
the sequel. Yeah.
You think I'm kidding, but she did actually make a porno movie called My Ass is Haunted.
Yeah.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah. My ass is possessed. It's like a BDSM one.
Oh my god, echoes from your ass. That's like
my ass is empty.
Ew. That's kind of gross.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. They'd make a movie about that, though.
Well, yeah, I kind of feel like they make a movie about anything as far as porn is concerned. They don't have Rule 34 for nothing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was actually like, this is Young Sherlock Holmes is actually on YouTube for free with ads. So if you've never seen it, or if you saw it like a long time ago when you were a kid, you know, and you want to see it again, I would recommend like watching it again, because it was actually, I remembered it being really good, but it was actually much better than I remembered. And it aged really well, I think. Like the special effects still look good. Mm-hmm. The fucking costumes really look, the sets look really good. It's a, because Tom was watching, he's like, man, this is a classy flick. And I was like, yeah, it is a classy flick. And like I said, it's got tons and tons of like really well-known British character actors in it. And I don't know, I just thought it was always like, I always thought it was a cool movie. And it just baffled me that, I mean, I didn't know at the time, because I saw it on cable. I don't think I saw this in the theater. I didn't know at the time that it wasn't like super, super successful, or that it wasn't all that critically, because I don't really care about that. But when I was like reading about it now, they said, yeah, it didn't really do all that well. Like, it didn't get shit on or anything, but people were just kind of like, meh. And I just wondered why, because everybody involved in this, like all of their other shit was like super, super successful. So
production quality is about like an Indiana Jones movie. It's a top notch movie.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I don't really know. And it's weird too, because I feel like movies of this kind and from this era, it seems like every single one of them has, like, a cult following. And I don't know if this one does. I mean, I'm sure it does. But I don't think it has, like, the same huge cult following as some other 80s movies from this era, like The Goonies or something like that.
There was a lot of Goonies vibe of this, kind of, in a way. It's, like, more serious.
Well, it's the same writer. It's the same writer, as, you know, that wrote The Goonies. But obviously this is Victorian era and not modern day. But you can tell that it was kind of like... And I think, too, the script... Because Chris Columbus is American, obviously, but the script was, like, run through a British novelist, like, to make it sound British, you know what I mean? Because sometimes you see that, because I've seen it, like, the other way, too, but a lot of times if you have a British writer who's writing an American movie, or vice versa, like, sometimes it'll be fine, but then they'll use this really odd turn of phrase that a real American and or British person wouldn't use. And then you're like, oh, a British person wrote this, because an American person wouldn't say that. But at least on this one, they did have the wherewithal to kind of run it through a British guy, like a novelist and a Sherlock Holmes expert, like to make sure that it was copacetic and that it was all canon, you know what I mean? Well, at least as canon as it could be. And it, even at the beginning and the end, it had like messages that, like, yeah, we realize this isn't based on Arthur Conan Doyle's work. It's based on his characters and stuff. But, you know, this is just like a fun, respectful kind of outside thing that we're doing. So we just hope you enjoy it, blah, blah, blah. So they really did take pains to not offend anybody, I guess. Because, you know, those Sherlock Holmes fans would just gather up their pitchforks and shit like that. Danny Rowling said we should do the Night Flyer for Tuesday. We might, although, did I look for it and I found it hard to find? I was going to do that, or I might do that George Romero movie Bruiser that one of you guys mentioned, which I had never even heard of, because I saw that was free somewhere too. And I was like, so we might do that, or we could do the Night Flyer too, if I can find it. It's on YouTube. Did somebody put it on YouTube, like, legally, illegally? I'm not really sure. Oh, and Pat Hatfield, yeah, I wanted to mention this too. This movie could have also been the first, or at least one of the first, examples of an after-credit sequence. Yeah, I think this might have been... I'm sure there was one earlier than this, But yeah, if you're watching this movie, watch all the way. It's just like, it's a Marvel, it's like a Marvel movie, because you have to watch all the way to the end of the credits. There's a little Easter egg at the end, and it was kind of like setting up a sequel, because the thing about it was that even though in the US this is called Young Sherlock Holmes, in the UK and in other countries it was called Young Sherlock Holmes and the Pyramid of Fear. So it's clear that if this was successful, they were thinking of making it a series. And the fact that it had that after credit sequence, like introducing Moriarty, essentially, like the main big bad, you know, it seemed like they were trying to set up a series. But because it didn't do as well as they hoped, then that never happened. But I kind of feel like you could do a reboot of this nowadays. Although maybe people are sick of Sherlock, because I think, what is there, like 5 Sherlock Holmes fucking shows on right now?
Played out. Yeah.
I mean, people are still watching them, so I guess, like, they like it, but I think there's a couple British ones, there's a couple American ones, there's another, there's an interdimensional one, yeah. You know what I mean? That it's like,
comedies,
you know,
that failed.
Well, that was terrible. Yeah. That was a terrible movie. That was a terrible movie. Pat Hatfield said, I agree, The Night Flyer is great. Okay, well, I'll look for that then. I'll look for that then. Like I said, I was thinking about doing Bruiser, the George Romero, but if I can find Night Flyer, we'll do that instead. But tomorrow we're going to do A Haunting, and I guess we're going to do Echoes from the Grave, not Echoes from the Past.
If we haven't done it, right, yeah.
We've done Echoes from the Past, but I'll look.
Okay.
If we haven't done Echoes from the Grave, then we'll do it.
If you can't Google it, or you can't find it on the search, then I guess we didn't do it.
Yeah. Okay. We don't know. We don't remember. Yeah, yeah. We don't know what we're doing.
We can't remember all this shit.
We don't know what we're doing half the time, obviously. It's just such a ramshackle operation. That's all right, though. All right, so we're going to wrap it up for today, because, man, I did not get much sleep last night. I'm fucking exhausted. Although I got a lot done today. I got like 3 or 4 videos done today, so I'm kind of proud of myself.
We got to put the garbage out.
You what?
And I got to put the garbage out tonight.
That's right, remind you do.
Me. I forgot last time.
Yeah, somebody said, like, because I'm on the little, you know, Black Bear Reserve neighborhood board.
Yeah.
They said that nobody had collected their garbage for 7 weeks.
No shit.
I'm like, where the fuck you live? Do they live in this neighborhood? They came and got the garbage the other day, didn't they?
Maybe they're at the end of a road or something, and the truck is missing.
Because I was like, maybe they
7 weeks of garbage just piling up?
I guess. I was like, maybe they just don't like you.
I
don't remember going 7 weeks and them not picking the garbage up. I would have noticed.
Oh, of course.
That's what I'm saying. Weeks. I mean, I just went out there like the other day and put a bag in there, and it wasn't even full. So it's like they must have been here.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I'm like, what? I don't know where that person lives. They said they're supposedly live in this neighborhood, but I don't know like where, what part of this neighborhood they live at. Maybe they like live behind something and they keep missing their house. I don't know. But yeah, so have a good rest of your weekend, you guys. And we'll be back tomorrow doing A Haunting. And so just be sure to drop by then, and we'll see you guys again tomorrow. Bye.